This is Steve Hurley, and welcome to the Pivotal Outdoors Podcast, discussing hunting, fishing, and outdoor pursuits, swapping stories and feeling alive. I'm here with Paul Roberts and Derek Langway. They're a return guest here on the Pivotal Outdoors Podcast, and we're going to talk about turkeys. So welcome back, guys.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah. So I figured... turkey seasons are closed. This is June now, so turkey seasons are closed across the country. You guys have had some success. And I figured, Paul, maybe you could kick us off with kind of how your season went and just the excitement and lessons learned, and just tell us about it.
My season went pretty fine. I missed out on opening day, but the Friday before opening day, I could hear the turkeys gobbling just behind my house about 50 yards. And I was really hoping to take my wife out behind there because she's gone turkey hunting, but she's never actually gotten a bird before that. And she wasn't interested because she had other chores she had to do. And so it was eating me up inside. So I went to a different spot and just kind of went in there blind. And I hiked over a couple ridges. And I hadn't heard anything. I tried hooting and everything else. Then finally, in this one little ravine, little valley, I could hear the turkeys gobbling. So I made my way up in there quietly. And the next thing I know, I hear, and I thought it was a person, just go, whoo! I was like, what the heck? And it made the turkeys gobble like crazy. I was like, well, I'll set up here anyway. So I set up on this old little logging trail and kind of scooched back a little bit and started to call, and the turkeys were gobbling like crazy. I could hear one group further down. It sounded like three or four of them. I assume those are the Jakes, but there was one lone one that was closer to me. And eventually he flew down and he was working his way up the trail, and I could see him bobbing his way up the trail. You could see the decoy, so he was picking up the pace. But just as he was getting close, I could hear footsteps behind me. And I was like, oh, man, this better not be a coyote to scare him off. So that turkey got up to the decoys, and he started fighting my Jake or whatever. And it ended up being a hen turkey. And she walked up close enough where I think she could pick stuff out of my pocket if she wanted to. But she spooked, and she took off. And that made him stand straight up and really pay attention to what was going on. Well, he was located, but in a V of two trees. So I could see him, but I didn't have a great shot. But when he stood straight up, I could tell he was going to leave the town soon, head out. So I shot between those trees and hit the trees, but I hit him too. He was a good one. He had, what were the measurements? A 9-inch beard. And then a separate 5-inch beard, right?
Yeah, I believe those are the measurements that you told me, yeah.
Yeah, and he didn't weigh much. I think he only weighed 15 or 16 pounds. But he was still a good bird, 3/4-inch spurs. After that, the next weekend, my wife did want to go out. So we left the kids at my mom's house. And we got up early, went out back. Set up pre-dawn, call a little bit just to see if they gobble. And a couple gobbled further down the ridge. I was like, well, hopefully they'll work their way up. Well, next thing I know, one gobbles right next to us. And it sounds like a dinosaur. And
like real hoarse or just loud or?
Oh, wicked. Just really rough. It just it blew all the rest away. You could tell it was much deeper than any other turkeys. So I'd call a little bit, and he would call, and I looked over, and I could see him through the trees up in his roost, and it was overcast that day. He just wanted to gobble and gobble and gobble, and finally, the crows came over, and they started calling and getting him going. Next thing I know, I watch, and they land in the tree with him, and they're pecking at him. I was like, what the hell? And so that pushed him out of the tree.
And I'm surprised he let him get that close.
Oh, it was crazy. I can't believe he didn't see us. He was so close. I mean, if it didn't look like it was going to work out, she probably could have popped him out of the tree. Yeah. But yeah, he ended up working through some brush, and I couldn't see him for the longest time. Then Ashley says, there he is, there he is. I was like, what? And I'm looking and looking, and finally he pops out on the ridge, and he's about 40 yards out, which is, it's a longer poke than I usually like to take. And the decoys, like I said last podcast, I like to stick them kind of in a little nook, so they really have to work to see them. Well, I messed up on that, and they're kind of in the wide open, so he just sat on that ridge, pacing, strutting back and forth. But even from that distance, I could see he had two big, thick paintbrush beards, and it looked like he had at least another third one hanging out of the bottom. And I was so excited, and I tried not to let Ashley know how excited I was. Because I didn't want her to make her nervous. But eventually, it looked like he was kind of catching on, like, they haven't moved yet. And he was either getting ready to leave or he was going to sneak in closer, but I really didn't want to risk it. So I told her to take the shot when she had it. And so finally, he kind of pokes his head up straight, like something's alarmed him. She took a rip and flipped that thing right on its back. And it was doing the flops. And I was like, yes, that's the biggest turkey I've ever seen. Oh, you did a great job. And then I looked back up at him, and he flopped over on the other side of the ridge. And I could just see him running away with his wings out. I go, no. So I go chasing off after him.
And this is right after you didn't want to freak Ashley out that this is a huge bird.
Yep.
You tell her, this is the biggest one I ever saw. And then he gets up and it's like, oh. Oh, I feel like I should have waited on that comment.
Yeah, pretty much. So I went chasing after it, hoping to finish it off over the other side of the hill. And he escaped. We found feathers. We found blood. But eventually the trail of feathers and blood just petered off into nowhere. But while we were trailing him, we actually bumped about another dozen turkeys out of a separate roost tree. And we were like, wow. Well, at least, you know, maybe there's some turkeys here.
And so early in the morning was this? Was this like at first light? Or, I mean, because when I hear they're in the roost tree, I'm like, oh, I'm surprised they didn't fly down yet, you know?
This was a little later than first light. This was probably about, I guess, 6 o'clock, 6:30-ish.
Okay.
Because it was really overcast that day. They were just kind of hanging out.
That makes sense, yeah.
So we went back to the house. Had a couple cups of coffee, and I tried to pep her back up because she was pretty bummed out after that. And so we went out, we took another logging trail down along the base of the hill towards the direction that all those turkeys got bumped to. And I said, well, we're going to just try to sneak around this hill and hopefully we'll get something to gobble. Almost as soon as I said that, just around the back of the hill, I go, oh, geez, we're going to set up right here. So I popped out my decoys, and I had her sit on this up against this tree, and I hid on the backside of the little knoll that she was leaned up against. And I started calling, and you could hear him. I go, man, I hope he's not hung up, because there's all sorts of, you know, blow down trees and all sorts of stuff on the trail. All that stuff would make him hang out. The next thing I know, I can hear. And I look, and here he comes running down the trail. And you can see he's got a good beard on him. He was a mature bird. And he came up close, and he started kicking the snot out of my Jake decoys. And finally, I was like, okay, well, when you get a shot, go ahead, shoot him in the head. I said, make sure to shoot him in the head, not in the body. She shot. And the thing stood straight up and was walking around going, what the heck is going on? And I go, shoot him again, shoot him again. So she racked another round and popped him and piled him up. I think she just got so excited that first shot she didn't aim fully or something, but maybe she was anticipating a recoil.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she got it done, and it was a good bird. It had a 9.5-inch beard, 9-inch beard, 9.5-inch. I don't know. I don't have the paper in front of me, but man, I was so excited. I haven't been that excited for quite a while for someone to get a turkey. And now she wants to go duck hunting and goose hunting this fall. So I'll get her back out, you know.
Oh, very cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I got a second turkey. I think it was that next Monday. You can't hunt Sundays up here. We still have blue laws. So yeah. It was the next Monday, and I really wanted that dinosaur freaking triple beard turkey. Yeah. So I went out there, and the turkeys weren't on top of that ridge anymore. I could hear one group, probably 200 yards away, off to the east, and then another group of turkeys, I would guess 100 yards away to the west. And I really didn't want to pressure them too much that day because they weren't close and I had to go to work. So I left them the week, and then I went back out on Saturday, and I had one turkey. Actually, I wasn't even going to go hunt. That's right. I was just going to scout. And as soon as I walked outside the door of my house with a cup of coffee, I could hear a turkey was out back. I was like, oh, man. So I went back in, changed up, got my gear. And, of course, by that time, the sun wasn't up, but it was certainly light out. So I had to sneak out across this chop, and I was in full view of the turkey. I almost had to belly crawl out to the thing as slow as I could. And I snuck one decoy out there and crept back, and the thing kept gobbling.
Do you ever mess with turkeys in the woods? Because you have a good gobble. if I could do that, I'd be walking around the house doing that at my wife and stuff, just to startle her.
I just tell long stories.
What did that sound like, Paul?
Yeah.
How was that again? But, I love it.
Anyway, sorry, didn't mean to derail you. Just
all right.
I'm a fan.
But yeah, he was gobbling his head off, and he flew down with a couple hens, and I could see him down one skitter trail, and he was strutting down behind a couple trees. And he wanted to come up, and then I see two hens with him. And next thing you know, he goes quiet. I was like, oh, man, he's gone. I still called occasionally. And eventually, down the center trail, the main skid trail, I could hear him. And here he comes. He comes strutting out, but his head is bleach white. He was scared.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so I don't know if it's a combination of him seeing me or whatnot. And he just, something wasn't right. He knew it. But once he got close enough, I ended that. But I also noticed that when I got up to him, he had no snood. And I guess from what I understand, the snood is how they actually show like their dominance, or it determines where they are in the pecking order kind of thing, mm-hmm. how macho they are. Well, this one had none. So I don't know if his head was white because he saw me, or if because he was too scared to come out and maybe try to hook up with the hen decoy, you know?
Yeah, he doesn't want to get roughed up by all the other Toms and Jakes out there.
Yeah.
I've actually heard of people getting decoys, like strutters and stuff, and then actually painting the head white.
Yeah.
And I've heard some people say they've had success with it. I mean, just listening to like other podcasts and Google searches and all that. So, that's kind of cool that you actually saw like the whole white head. It's like, oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I seen AVNX. They came out with a strutter decoy where you could swap out the head with a white head. And I was like, well, that's foolish. And then I see him come out with a white head. I go, oh, okay.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that sounds pretty good. So you got two, your wife got one. How many birds are you allowed to get in Maine?
In this zone, you can get two in the spring and five in the fall, but I think that's an accumulated number. So if you get two in the spring, you can only get three in the fall.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Cool. And yeah, we have, I'm in PA, and we have kind of like the blue laws down here. They're sort of getting away from it. They're dabbling. Where like last year they allowed three Sundays, like one around archery, one at like opening weekend for deer, and I think one for bear. I think I could be wrong on that, but they're dabbling in opening up Sunday hunting, which I'm personally excited about. It does cut your weekends in half when you're trying to hunt, you know, or even a Sunday afternoon, you know, even if you go to church and try to get an afternoon in.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's like up here, and our deer hunting season's a month long. It's the month of November. So if you work for a living, you only get to hunt 4 days a year.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. And that's not even 4 days in a row where you can kind of, okay, they're moving here. This has changed. And it's, you know, it's like feels like you're starting from day one the next week, you know? And so.
Yeah. Yeah. Working with one hand behind your back.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're successful. It's definitely, definitely cool. And I'm so glad Ashley got some redemption there. Just hearing it's like, oh yeah, that one got away. Like my stomach turns because I feel bad. Because I imagine how I would feel. I'd be like, oh man, I'm going to be thinking about that till next year. So I'm really glad it's like, just get back on the horse and you guys could capitalize on that. That's awesome.
Yeah. And even the turkey that she got was still a mature bird. It had a 9 or 10 inch beard and a good 3/4 inch spurs. So
yeah,
it's not just like she missed a huge one and got a little tiny one. She still got a good bird. I'd still be bragging about that bird.
Yeah, that's very cool. So Derek, you want to tell your story?
Yeah. So I kind of had an inverted turkey success. My opening weekend, I killed a bird. season started on Saturday, because Quantico doesn't have any hunting on Sundays. I used that day to scout with my son and just got on a really good track, went down, to, it was like a little cut, on Quantico, on the Marine Corps base. And then on Monday morning, I knew exactly where I was going to park. I knew it was 300 meters through straight woods. And then I would get to, the high tension power lines. And there was a low lying area that basically bisected that. And I was like, it's where I saw, all the sign. It's a great spot. So the Sunshine Ridge for morning sun. And it was exactly what you're supposed to do. And that was my opening weekend. The only problem is the bird that I had called in, I thought was another hunter. I thought that I was gobbling and clucking and purring at the worst caller in all of Northern Virginia. It was raspy. It cut off. He had no rhythm and cadence and was calling way too much. Hold on. I have a 2-year-old.
It's all right.
So I have a 2-year-old directly over my head. I'm sure you were able to hear it.
No problem. Okay. It happens. So you're saying you were at a power line cut area. You're calling to what you thought was another hunter. Now, were you just be like, you know what? He's talking to me. I'm just going to talk back just having fun. Or
yeah, I was like, so my heart rate went up because it was that perfect. I gave an owl hoot and I heard a perfect gobble about 300 yards into the woods. And I was like, this is amazing. I didn't hear the fly down. I didn't hear much of anything. But I mean, just everything was right on. I knew that turkeys were in there, because of that fresh sign. I set up my decoy on that. It was perfect. And then what I thought was another hunter came in and was basically like ruining my set. Getting onto Quantico, to get out to where I was a 45-minute drive through all of the backwoods and all of the training areas. And every single intersection of every single training area in LZ, there is an F-150 or a similar pickup truck of a Marine that's trying to do the same thing I'm doing. And it's like, even getting to where I was on the road, there was three cars parked at the LZs right beforehand. So I was positive that this like gobbling, encroaching on my decoy and, you know, about to ruin my day at, you know, 0645 was another Marine looking to get an opening morning turkey, because it was Monday morning, just after the season opened. And so I just stopped calling to him. I was sick of it. And then just over the ridge, that terrible calling person ended up being a living, breathing, walking turkey that was the best specimen I have ever seen of a turkey. It was the show. The only problem is it was one ridge line over. And so I set up on the east side of that ridge, and he was all the way over in this little grassy knoll on the west side, at least 80 yards. Absolutely no way I was taking a shot. I was in no position.
Now, when you're talking about the other ridge, are you limited in those training areas of like, hey, you have this zone, you can't go over there? Or was it just time and distance? It was just out of the question.
It was more the time and distance, because it was all my son calls them cat claws. It was all fresh blackberry vines. And it was a tangled mess of briars with a very well beaten hiking path through the power lines. And the power lines were actually fairly well managed. And that's what was growing all through there. And because I also decided to set up where the highest concentration of water was, it was just growing like from Eden. And so, yeah, there was no getting around it. I was not in a position to move. So I have this bird that's hung up at 80 yards. I have the perfect decoy and this terrible caller that was actually the bird. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. And so I pull out the fan, my little, I want to say it's from Mojo. It's a little, it kind of looks cheap, but it must be that Mona Lisa where, it, you know, it's good from afar, but far from good. And the moment I opened it, that turkey stopped strutting and ran. And so when I was fidgeting to get that fan on the front tip of my gun, kind of like the holster for it, it's got like an integrated bipod on it.
Okay.
When I was messing with that, I thought that I had spooked the turkey, and because he immediately shut up, he changed his posture and started running. And was like running into the draw. And I was like, well, crap. And so I low crawl to get out of the briar patch that I had set up in and overlook the kind of low lying area. And would you have it? That turkey was defiling my hen decoy. It couldn't have been more than 10 yards.
Wow.
So in the 30 seconds to get in a low crawl from where I was at over to view my decoy, he closed that distance. And I thought that I messed up my hunt. And it turns out he was all in and did not want competition. And so, yeah,
so he definitely saw the fan. And I guess I'm going to shoot my shot before this guy comes down the hill, right?
Exactly. He's like, that turkey's coming in and And I was, you know, 15 yards away. And he's like, I'm at 80. And he closed the distance fast. I was not expecting it. And I'm really glad that that happened, because I didn't have one yip. I was like, okay, sight alignment, sight picture, pull into the recoil, safety off, boom. The problem is I was so close. I don't want to admit it, but I'm pretty sure I blew that turkey straight to smithereens from its tail feathers right out to its head. Because you guys saw the pictures. There were 4 tail feathers left. So I hit the turkey in the neck with the wad. I found the wad stuffed on it. It was that close.
Wow.
And the neck was obliterated when I finally came home to process it. And yeah, it's definitely the biggest turkey that I've had and had the pleasure of seeing. And yeah, I opened my season like that. And so that was day number 2 hunting.
So now, was the shot like face on with this turkey, or was it like from the side? Did you hit your decoy at all? I mean, with him defiling it?
The decoy was thoroughly on the ground. I did not hit my decoy.
Okay.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because I reused it the rest of the season. I had to clean it up because it was a bit muddy. But yeah, it was great.
That's awesome.
And yeah, it was either facing straight towards me or straight away from me. But man, I clobbered its neck. So it was really great. And that was my opening weekend. So I kind of used Saturday as a scouting day. I didn't get the area that I wanted. And so I just went and I kind of scouted it for deer hunting season in hopes to rouse up a turkey. Cause it's a marginal, deer hunting area or a turkey hunting area. And then on Sunday at the time, I kind of consider it a lottery when you're putting in for the training areas that you want at. So at 11:58, I start refreshing the login page to get to the registration. And I know exactly what training area I want. And I know my alternate and my tertiary, because if it's not available, every training area was filled up by 12:03.
Wow. And you're talking, this is midnight, so, right? This isn't noon. This is midnight.
No, no, no.
Before
noon,
Sunday?
Noon the day before.
Oh, the noon.
Noon the day before.
And so it's not just Sunday. So you want to go out Thursday. You can't do it earlier. You actually basically have to do it close to noon on Wednesday, right? If you're going to hunt Thursday, as an example.
Correct.
Okay.
Which it makes my turkey hunting really weird, because I would have to clear the woods and be back to cell phone service by that noon deadline if I wanted to hunt the next day.
Oh yeah.
And so it kind of made me really, really about my timelines. And that's a part of the reason why I was writing you guys so much, is because I didn't have time to be inefficient.
Yeah.
I had to get on turkeys.
Can you guys hunt all day down there? Or is it like only till noon? Till noon?
So on base for the entire season, it's only noon.
Oh,
the entire season. For the state. Yeah, and you can't hunt on Sundays. But for the state of Virginia, it does allow Sunday hunting. And in the second half of that season, you can hunt from 30 minutes before dawn until 30 minutes after dusk.
Okay.
But
well, so you're even dealing with tighter restrictions, not just space on base, but even time allowed on base.
But I mean, that inconvenience paid in spades with that turkey. There's a lot of opportunity and a lot of availability if you're willing to put up with that bureaucracy and the difficulty of basically securing your spot.
And I bet you a lot of people would just avoid it because they just don't want to deal with it. And they're like, oh, I'll just whatever, drive an hour away or go to a game lands. And just because they don't want to look at these little hidden spots.
Oh yeah. It's a real pain. And you have to have a bit of an adventurous spirit because so I hunted 3 full weeks during our 5-week turkey season. The first week I was lucky enough to have success. The second week I went hunting in the mountains in a wildlife management area. And then I hunted the very last week of turkey season, mainly because I couldn't get it out of my blood. Like I couldn't stop thinking about it. And so I hunted archery areas on the last week of turkey season. And let me tell you, I learned a lot about that.
So wait, and so you were taking your bow out for that? Is that what you're saying?
My crossbow. Yeah.
Crossbow. Okay.
With the crossbow, I wasn't going to take a shot anything more than 15 to 20 yards because I can plug holes at that distance, even with the expandable broadheads. But I just didn't realize that the precision that you would need to not only see, identify, and track, but also hit an area that's mainly the size of, I would say, a baseball is the vital area of a turkey. And I'm glad I did it. But it did increase the difficulty, and it made me think about my setups and my shot opportunity and placement a lot more. But man, if I hadn't spooked the one turkey just cruising down a trail, I wouldn't have had an opportunity. So I definitely got that last week. I got close to a lot of turkeys, but they weren't committing to my hen. And then I was trying out different Jake and different things, just to see what would get them that target fixation and get a good shot and get a good placement. So it was really quite difficult. And then the second week in that mountain WMA, the birds in the mountains, man, they are cut from a different cloth. They're much wilier. It's much, much more austere. And except for that golden hour right before fly down, and then maybe 10 minutes after, man, I was not hearing much on the gobbles. If you're not willing to put in a lot of shoe leather and a lot of boots hitting ridges and pushing from observation point to observation point, you're not going to get one of those mountain birds. The WMA that we were at was absolutely amazing. It was really gorgeous. It had really great meadows, and it was flooded with all of the turkey hunters that had their setups right there in the valleys and the meadows. Me and this other guy that I met on a Facebook group called BHA for the National Capital Region, we drove, 4 hours out into the mountains. I'd never met the guy, and we were gonna camp out for 3 days with with firearms and hatchets and
now, away did from. Did he bring a tent too, or was there like an awkward pause? You're like, oh, I'm sorry, I was picking up something else here.
No, we definitely shared a tent. I'm just kidding. No. It ended up not being as backcountry as one would think. It absolutely poured down rain for 2 days. The day before I got there and the first night I was there. And it kind of changed the dynamic of our campsite. So the firing was a puddle and the campsites were mud pits. And so we basically slept in our own cars, which I was sort of prepared for.
Mm-hmm.
Just a sleeping bag and my ground pad. And I slept in my car pretty comfortably.
Okay, yeah, that sounds doable, at least for a night or two, you know, not a problem.
Yeah, I slept out there two nights. Yeah, it was pretty good.
Well, it seems like you're really getting a full, well-rounded season. You're going out with multiple weapons, multiple different types of terrain. I thought it was really cool just hearing about, since you're going out for archery, with that decrease in distance, it's almost like you're really forced to find like the perfect setup. And, you know, because you mentioned there's beautiful meadows and that's basically where most people go anyway, because they're trying to maximize their distance and everything. So it is kind of interesting when you limit yourself, how much you have to really read the terrain and invest. Cause I mean, I try to do it too, of maximizing my range, even with deer hunting. I feel like I cut too many shooting lanes and stuff. And I'm like, oh, this tree is good, cause they come this way, I can see them. If they come this way, I can see them. So it's a lot harder to find and really read the terrain. So I think that's really cool. That's very valuable for that area to learn that, you know?
I mean, especially since this is my second year turkey hunting. The first year I picked up the last half of the season, and I really only got on one turkey. And then the season was over, and it was kind of, not missed expectations, because I knew that I wasn't gonna fare well with no preparation whatsoever. But this year it was mainly about, what does the turkey want? I translate everything that I see in the woods, from a whitetail perspective into turkey. And so I learned a lot, and I kind of calibrated my game eye to what does a turkey want and need. And the one thing that I picked up and shared with you guys was, if I'm getting into a good kind of turkey, a very turkey like area of the woods, my feet aren't crunching under, the leaves aren't crunching under my feet anymore. I'm getting into that low lying area. There's a lot of scrub and a lot of basically bugs to root around and pick on. And then I also look for kind of a meadow and a good overlook that's got like 30 or 40 yards where a turkey could strut and basically show his stuff and still be able to see a good amount of that little river type bottom. And so in doing that, I came on so many deer. A couple of those subpar turkey areas that are archery only on Quantico, I'm rustled up quite a few deer, and I don't know which ones were does and which ones were bucks, but doesn't matter. deer are deer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's cool. I mean, that's even exciting for me too. Like I just seeing animals out there, even if it's seeing a deer during turkey season or whatever is cool that you're creeping in on them. And so also Derek, I know you said this is like your second main season going out for it, but it is very cool that you are also the champion of the Pivot Outdoors Spring Thunder Trophy.
Cool. Yeah, it's beautiful. I took like 4 pictures of it. My mount isn't completed yet. That's one of the projects I need to finish. Maybe next Friday I'll have that done. But yeah, it's a very beautiful and very kingly trophy. And I can't believe it actually won. I think it's mainly because that turkey ate well. The one that I shot, it was a very big, very mature, very dumb turkey that needed to just get got.
Yeah, he wasn't thinking with his head, I guess, at that point.
Oh, I know. It was what, 23 pounds?
Yeah, that's a big bird.
Yeah, I don't think you've given the stats yet.
Let me pull up real quick. I think I posted it on the Instagram. Let me pull it up real quick. Just for people listening. A 21.8 pound turkey, a 10.5 inch beard, and 1 1/8 inch spurs. Those are some really nice spurs. Oh man, like I had 3/4 inch and I'm like 1 1/8. I'm like, man, those are daggers.
Yeah, it's monster. And I'm really glad that the big bass storytelling has already crept in. Next time I tell the story, the turkey won't be 23 pounds, it'll be 28 pounds.
Yeah, with 2 inch spurs.
Yeah. Walk around on fists.
Yeah.
That would be a dinosaur.
Well, I'm just really glad you guys participated. And for all the listeners out there, we kind of talked about it in the previous podcast, but the Pivot Outdoors, it was open to anybody. We'll do it again. You enter, all the proceeds, it went to the National Wild Turkey Federation. They have a save the habitat, save the hunt campaign. And so they're trying to just open up more access to hunters and improving terrain for not just turkeys, but it benefits deer, anything you think of. Woodpeckers, groundhogs, bear, whatever. It just improves the overall outdoor experience. So it's really cool that you guys participated. And so I was interested when you guys mentioned for your birds, Paul, you talked about the logging trail, and Derek, you kind of found a spot like on the power line. I was fortunate enough to get a bird this year, and mine was similar. Cause it was kind of on, I guess it would be like not a logging trail, but on like a road, a drivable road, like a dirt road through the woods. I spotted this turkey the day before the season, even though I went out like weeks beforehand, different locations, but drive 2 hours to check out a new game land. Couldn't find anything. Went out that Monday, went to the exact same spot just because, well, the turkey's here. Hopefully I can get lucky again. I set up, I did what you said, Paul. I used the Jake. I had a hen. I usually always go out with hens and it's like really hit or miss. I get hung up gobblers. But I had a hen and a Jake, and I was sitting there early morning and a fox came out and was like creeping up on my decoys. And I was like, oh, this could be interesting. This could be fun. But he was crouched down and he sat there for like 2 minutes and he just stood up and just like trotted off. I think he realized like, oh, these aren't real birds. They're not moving. But I heard some gobbling. I'm like, okay, cool. I had the box call and it sounded like 2 gobblers far away. They're kind of coming down the hill off this ridge and I hear a shotgun blast and I'm like, oh, and it's quiet for like 15 seconds. And then all of a sudden another gobble goes off. I'm like, oh, so the guy got one of them. Maybe, you know, they're still in the area. At least one's in the area. And it's kind of quiet. I'm debating if I should move or not. I'm like, I'm just going to hold tight. I'm just going to hold tight. And I was using these Walker game ears, you know, where mm-hmm. you can kind of turn it up and really hear the sound.
Yep.
And I think maybe off the ridge, it was hard for me to like really pinpoint the direction of the sound. I could kind of get like, okay, it's this funnel off of me, like this towards this corner. But then I hear a distant one. And then if I take the game ears off and I hear it again, I'm like, wait a second, that sounded like it was somewhere else. So I'm like, I'm just going to sit here. And it's probably like 10 o'clock. Sitting there for a while. It got real quiet. I start doing just kind of little clucks and purrs.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear a gobble or two. I can hear them. It feels like they're strutting back and forth through the woods on this ridge, maybe like 100 yards away. Because I'll hear them gobble, and I cluck, purr a little bit. I hear them gobble again. And they're like to my left now. Do it again. Now they're back to my right, like 100 yards. I'm like, okay, they're going back and forth. And then I kind of shut up for a little bit. And then I would just do some more clucks and purrs on a slate.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, they sound like they're closer now. The gobbles are like tracking to me. So I'm like, okay. So I'm kind of holding right on the Jake. Cause like you said, Paul, they want to like rough this guy up or at least put him somewhere in the hierarchy, probably on the bottom. Yep. So I'm just holding right on it and it's quiet. Nothing's happening. I'm like thinking about letting down and calling again. And all of a sudden I just see just the fan pop up and mm-hmm. it's like it's cresting a hill, but I see the fan. I didn't see the head first. I was like, oh, okay. Which I'm glad I saw that instead of letting down and moving. And then two toms came out. They're both strutting. And this is probably like a 20 yards and one just stepped out, dropped its fan, stretched its neck up and just boom. And I was like, wow, that worked perfectly. I'm really sold on using the Jake now because they were dialed in on the Jake and not like ignoring the hen basically.
Yeah. Yeah. The Jakes work great. And I think trails and stuff are underrated because everybody looks for the big fields. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But out here in the East, fields they get beat up too fast. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Everybody, you know, floods into them. So yeah, I like to stick to trails, snowmobile trails, logging trails.
Yeah. And I was trying to maximize the area,
mm-hmm.
where I was almost like at a four way. So it was like two trails crossing. So I'm like, okay, I can, if they come out, they can see all the way down the road, you know, this way at the Tom and Hen or the Jake and the Hen. And then the other way as well. So I was trying to spread that instead of trying to get the perfect setup, like what Derek was looking for with the archery.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, how can I maximize them seeing it? But hopefully they still come in, and it worked out. Well, guys, I'm glad you're on to talk about turkeys today. Derek, congrats again. And you hold for a year, you hold the title of the Spring Thunder champion. So yeah, thanks for jumping on and let me hear the stories.
Really thanks for having us.
Hey, thanks for listening today. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to like and subscribe. And if you'd like to support this podcast to sustain future episodes, feel free to click on the listener support link in the show notes. There'll be more content coming. And if there are any questions or comments, you can reach me on Instagram @OutdoorsWithSteve or @PivotalOutdoors.